Conclusion of this study, and this afternoon we're going to be taking a look at verses 7 through 11, verses 7 through 11 of the book of Colossians this afternoon. I'd like to read those verses for you. Colossians chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in Christ, in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they shall make known unto you all things which are done here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you, and Marcus, sister's son to Barabbas, touching whom you receive comments, if he come unto you, receive him. And Jesus, which is called Justice, who are of the circumcision, these only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. Let's just bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would just speak to us through your word this afternoon and help us to see the truths that are contained within it. Help us see the importance of looking to you and being there for others. And Father, help us to see that we're not called to be islands unto ourselves, but we're called to be an encouragement one to another as believers in you. Speak to us through your word this afternoon, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As with a lot of Paul's letters, when it comes to the end, there's salutations and specific brief commands and explanations. And that's exactly what we have in this letter. And a lot of people would say, well, there's really not much to look at here. It's just he's mentioning the text that we're looking at tonight. There's five men's names mentioned. What do we know about these guys, and why is it important to spend a little time looking at them? And why would God, the Holy Spirit, record this for us as his inspired word? What's there for us to learn? Well, first of all, I want you to know that God called us to be ministers one to another. We're here not to be off by ourselves as Christians, but rather each of us has been given spiritual gifts. Each of us is there to exhort, encourage, admonish one another in the Lord. We're to be there to use our spiritual gifts to help the body of Christ function in a proper manner. And Paul is experiencing this with these men. Now remember, a lot of times all we think about is Paul. Well, Paul was this great missionary. Paul went into these cities. Paul preached. Paul stood for the Lord. Paul sang hymns with Barnabas when in prison. Paul did all these things. Paul was a servant who gathered wood when he was a prisoner, was bitten by the snake, and instead of panicking, uses that whole situation to be a witness for Christ. And you think of Paul and what a great and powerful teacher, evangelist, preacher that he was. But Paul's saying, I'm thankful for these men. And we're going to find out who these men are and why he's thankful for them. The first man that we want to look at this evening is Tychicus. Tychicus, he says, all my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is beloved brother and a faithful minister and a fellow servant in the Lord. Tychicus was there to be with Paul. Paul was sending him with, if you would, the parchment or the letter. This letter was written on parchment paper. And Tychicus's responsibility was to take this letter along with Onesimus back to the city of Colossae and to give it to the church leaders there, the elders of the church, that they may read it to the church. And then he was also to go on and share it with the other churches, Laodicea, Hierapolis, and other churches in that area, to be an encouragement to them and to share with them the truths that we've been looking at over the last few weeks. Now, Tychicus, a lot of times you've never probably heard his name before, but he's very important to Paul. Paul, at certain times in his ministry, couldn't write or record for himself. And it says that in some of supposed to say, I wrote this with my own hand. But other times, an individual will have recorded it for Paul as Paul dictated it to him. Tychicus could have been one of these individuals who was used by the Lord to be really a secretary for Paul, to write down the letters that Paul was dictating to him while he was in prison. We know that not only the letters that are written here and recorded in the scripture were written, but there's also reference given to other letters. We know that Paul wrote a letter, for example, to the church at Laodicea. We don't have that letter. God didn't see fit to put it in the scripture, but there are other letters that Paul wrote to individuals and church bodies and be an encouragement. Tychicus was involved with some of this. But not only that, it says that Tychicus was there, and he was a couple things to Paul. First of all, he was a beloved brother. He was someone there who was Paul's brother in the Lord. He was a fellow Christian. He loved the Lord, and as a brother in the Lord, he's an encouragement to Paul. I don't know if you've ever had someone that's been a fellow Christian that's been very close to you, and they're there to be an encouragement to you. You can bounce ideas off of them. You can share with them. You can pray with them. And it's very encouraging. I've had some individuals like that in my life, and they've always been an encouragement to me. I remember a man a number of years ago that we'd get together once a week, and we'd have a time together where we'd share what was going on in our lives. We'd pray together. And it was really an encouragement. Well, Tychicus was with Paul continually. And he was with Paul, and he stayed with Paul as these other men, even when Paul was thrown into prison. We know that it'd be very easy for them to have just abandoned Paul and said, well, look it, he must have done something terribly wrong. He's been thrown into prison. I'm not going to be part of that. But no, they went there and they continued to minister to them. As in, so much so that he says a faithful minister, that is a faithful servant to him. He was true. He was faithful. He did not abandon Paul, but was there with him through all things. And then he says, a fellow servant in the Lord. Paul viewed him as someone who God had called to a purpose and to be a servant with Paul in his ministry. Paul did not view himself as being above these guys. They were his equals. They were fellow servants. They were there with him to serve and minister with him. None of us is above any other believer in Christ, but rather we're here to minister one to another and minister with one another for the Lord. This is Tychicus, the one who's entrusted with the parchment papers to go back to Colossae. And then we see, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts. And so Paul's telling them, he can be a comfort to you just as he's been a comfort to me. As he comes to know your condition and understand where you are, may he be a blessing and comfort to you. Next he talks about Onesimus. Now Onesimus, we spent some time on him last Sunday afternoon as we looked at the book of Philemon in relation to what Paul was speaking of in masters and servants in that portion of this letter. But Onesimus was somebody, as we just review, was a man who had run away from his master. He had stolen from his master. He was an unbeliever when he left. He had come from the city of Colossae, and yet we see that God brought him to Rome, and in this big city of Rome, and he compares to other cities at that time in the world, in this big city of Rome, he ends up with Paul. And not only does he end up where Paul is, but Paul, being Paul, is unashamed of the gospel, and he shares it with Onesimus, and Onesimus becomes a believer in Christ. He becomes one of Paul's spiritual children, in that he's saved through Paul's ministry. And Paul has this to say about Onesimus as he sends Onesimus back with Tychicus to Colossae with this letter. He says, with Onesimus, a faithful beloved brother. Interesting. He hadn't been faithful when he left, had he? You don't steal from your master and run away from your master and the responsibilities that he's given to you and be called faithful. Yet Paul says he's a new man. He's a transformed man by the power of Jesus Christ. In that he who was not faithful is now faithful. He who was not beloved is now beloved. And there's been this transformation in Onesimus. And because he is faithful and beloved, Paul trusts him to bring this message and to share even more. He says, "They will make known unto you all things which are done here." Now, Paul hasn't been talking about everything that's been happening in Rome. We don't know, for example, his daily activities. We don't know who he's been ministering to. We don't know other people that have gotten saved. We don't know what they're doing as far as what Paul's future is going to be, how long, what he thinks. In one part of the letter we looked at last week, he said that he prays that he may be able to come to the people in Colossae shortly, but he doesn't know if he will or not. But all these things, Tychicus and Onesimus have been trusted to share all these things and to share them truthfully because they are faithful and beloved of Paul, and he knows that they will do this and that they will present the accurate picture of what is going on in Rome. "They shall make known unto you all these things which are done here." And so he who was unfaithful is now called faithful, and he who is not beloved was called beloved by the Apostle Paul. Now we come to Aristarchus. Aristarchus. Articus. Well, I'll try one more time. Aristarchus. Aristarchus, yes. I practiced that and I practiced that and I was getting it right at home. Aristarchus. Yes, that's right. Aristarchus. Now, Aristarchus is someone who appears four other times in the New Testament. If you just want to turn with me to look at these, turn first of all to Acts chapter 19, verse 29. Aristarchus. Acts chapter 19, verse 29. "And the whole city was filled with confusion, having caught Gaius and Aristarchus, men of Macedonia, Paul's companions in travel. They rushed with one accord into the theater." And what was happening here is that they were being falsely accused, and they were there was a riot that was beginning to assemble as Paul was being falsely accused as he presented the gospel when he came and with the ministry into the Macedonian regions in these cities. Aristarchus was with him. He was a traveling companion. He had been there through all of Paul's ministry. And Aristarchus was there when Paul was falsely accused. Aristarchus was there in the midst of all this turmoil that was going on as Paul preached the gospel. Yet Aristarchus did not abandon Paul. And Aristarchus continued in the ministry. Then if you continue on to look at Acts chapter 20, verse 4. In Acts chapter 20, verse 4, we find Aristarchus again. "And there accompanied him into Asia, Sopater of Berea and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus and Secundus and Gaius of Derbe and Timotheus of Asia and Tychicus and Trophimus. These going before tarried for us at Troas." And so we see that Aristarchus really was sent by Paul on to the next city to make preparations, to talk to the people. And so Paul trusted him tremendously with responsibilities. And Aristarchus was a man who had great passion for God. He did not allow the circumstances which occurred to dissuade him from sharing the gospel and from being used of God in Paul's ministry in bringing the gospel to these cities. Then if you look at Acts chapter 27, verse 2. Acts chapter 27, verse 2. We find Aristarchus mentioned again. Aristarchus, again, Acts 27, 2. And entering into a ship of Adramyttium, we launched, meaning to sail to the coasts of Asia, one Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with us. And this is the ship that they launched in, where they ended up with the shipwreck on the island, and Paul was bitten by the serpent and all of that. And Aristarchus was on that as well. Now, you have to be someone who loves the Lord, called of God, has a burden for the lost, is willing to endure affliction to fulfill the calling in order to continue on. And that was Aristarchus. Aristarchus was with Paul in all of these events and more that aren't recorded in Scripture because he was a constant companion of Paul. What does Paul say about Aristarchus? Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner. So not only was he with Paul on this ship, he was a fellow prisoner with Paul. Now, he could have said, well, wait a second here. I'm not with this man. I don't want to go to prison. But instead, Paul says, he's my fellow prisoner. He stayed with me. He didn't abandon the Lord. Why? Because he had passion for Christ. And he had a desire to serve God. And he said, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you. And so this is the third man that Paul mentions, Aristarchus, a man of passion, a man who was with Paul in numerous occasions during his ministry. Then he mentions the fourth one. And this is an interesting one because this is Marcus. He is Barnabas's nephew, his Barnabas's sister's son. What do we know about Marcus? His name is John Mark in English. And if you remember when Paul and Barnabas went on their first missionary journey, they had a young man with them, and that man was John Mark or Marcus. He was taken. Barnabas said, we're going to take him with us. And they got into the journey just a little bit. They had their first encounters of difficulty. They ran into demonic problems. They confronted demonically possessed people. They had issues where people didn't want to hear the gospel, and they were rejected. It wasn't long until Marcus decided, I've had enough of this. I'm not going to be cut out for being a missionary. I'm not cut out for being an evangelist. I'm not cut out to go with my uncle and Paul. I'm going back to Jerusalem. I'm going back to where I feel comfortable. I'm going back to where I feel safe. And he abandoned them. Later on, we see that when they prepared to go on their next missionary journey, Barnabas wanted to take Marcus again. And Paul refused because he did not trust Marcus, because Marcus had abandoned them once before. And that's when you had Paul and Barnabas split, and Barnabas took Marcus, and Paul went with Silas. And so then we ended up with two missionary groups. And now we find Marcus back with Paul in Rome. Something's happened. And there's a transformation in the life of Marcus, and that is his past has become his past, but he's been transformed by the power of Christ and now is a real blessing to Paul. Let's see what Paul says about Marcus. Marcus, sister's son to Barabbas, touching whom you received commandments, if he come unto you, receive him. Now, touching, it says here, touching whom ye received commandments. Marcus has evidently been given the ability to teach and to be there with Paul, to be an encouragement to Paul. Marcus is no longer viewed by Paul as a detriment, but a blessing. And it's an example of God's transforming power in our lives, and that even the times that sometimes we fail, and we say, I didn't do what God wanted me to do. Well, we're not all washed up. God can still use us, and God can still forgive us. It's interesting, Marcus went back to Jerusalem, and we know whose teaching he sat under in Jerusalem, because Marcus wrote the second gospel, the gospel according to Mark. That's John Mark. That's this Marcus. He became someone who became a teacher. But you're probably thinking, well, I thought the gospels were supposed to be written by apostles. Well, that's why Marcus went back and sat under the teaching of Peter when he was in Jerusalem. And Peter recorded all these events that Mark wrote down for us in the gospel according to Mark. That is, it's really Peter's recollections and Peter's recital to Marcus who wrote these things down. Marcus became very instrumental in the ministry of the young church. He who had turned his back on Paul, he who had abandoned his uncle and Paul, now becomes someone who's a blessing to the one he one time abandoned. And not only that, God used him to record the second gospel that Peter gave to him. What does that teach us? Well, number one, it shows us that even though we fail, God can still use us. And Peter probably would be able to tell the same thing to Mark. Mark comes back there and he's going, well, I failed. You know, I abandoned my uncle, I abandoned Paul, I'm back here in Jerusalem. Really, does God have anything he can do with me? And Peter probably said, I want to tell you a story about something that happened to me. I was there and I was the one who proclaimed that Jesus was the Son of God. And he said to all the disciples, man hasn't revealed this to you, but the Spirit of God. Then I told Jesus not to go to the cross, and he told me, get behind me, Satan. Then he went and he told me, you're going to deny me three times before the cock crows. And I said, not me, Lord, never me. And that night I denied him three times as he was being illegally tried by the Sanhedrin and the high priests, as he was being falsely accused, as he was being beaten and spat upon. Three times people approached me and said, you're one of his disciples, aren't you? And I said, no, that's not me. That's not me. You've got me confused with someone else. Twice it was young girls who approached. It wasn't even a man. And we see that he denied Jesus. Peter probably is telling him this, and he's saying, but you know something? Jesus came to me, and when he'd risen from the dead, he met me on the Sea of Galilee. And as he met the other disciples, he cooked fish for us. And then he talked about three times he asked me the question if I loved him. And three times he told me to feed his sheep. And he gave me a ministry. Me, who had denied him. Me, who had said I wasn't one of his. Yet he called me and gave me the ministry of feeding and trusting the believers. I want to tell you, Marcus, God's got plans for you too. Just like he's got plans for every one of us. Sometimes if we fail the Lord, John tells us, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He wants to use you, he wants to use me in spite of who we are. He knows exactly who we are. Before he called us, before he redeemed us. And he, just as he used Mark and caused him to become a mighty man of God that became a real blessing to the Apostle Paul, the very same man that had abandoned Paul, He can use us. And so Paul encourages them to receive him. Receive him and receive what he's got to say. He's become a teacher of God's word. Then we come to the fifth man. The fifth man. And Jesus, in the Hebrew, would be Yeshua. And he says, which is called justice in the Latin. And Jesus, which is called justice, who are of the circumcision. This man was Jewish. Marcus was Jewish. And we know that Articus was Jewish. These three men were Jewish. They were the only three Jewish men that appears to have stayed with Paul. He says, "These only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort to me, who are of the circumcision." These three were of the circumcision. In other words, they were Jews, converted to be followers of Christ, accepting Jesus as the Messiah in fulfillment of the law and the prophets. And he says, and all five of these only are my fellow workers in the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort to me. Paul needed those with him to be a comfort to him, an encouragement to him, a fellow worker with him, someone who could be there to help deliver his words and encouragement to others. That's what you and I are called to do. We're not called to be all by ourselves. I remember we had some friends one time, and this was a long time ago. Things aren't nearly as bad in our country at that time as they are today. But they said, you know, if things get really bad, they lived up on the Iron Range in northeastern Minnesota. They said, you know, I know places out in the Boundary Waters. We could go out there and we could build a little cottage and we could live out in the Boundary Waters and they would never find us. But that's not what we're called to do. We're not called to be islands unto ourselves, separated way off. But rather, we're called to take the gospel, and we're called to be with other Christians, and we're called to be encouragers of one another. Paul said, I've got these five men. They're my fellow workers. They're the ones who give me comfort and encouragement. Receive them and listen to what they say. May we become that one to another, and may we see when we fail, God can still use us. When we're given a task, God expects us to fulfill it. May we have a passion not to give up when things get rough, and may we seek to have a purpose in serving one another and the Lord. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand the truths that you revealed to us through these five men, how that they were all a blessing to Paul, how Paul entrusted them to further his ministry and to share the gospel and to encourage other Christians back at Colossae. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to realize that they were given and recorded for us so we could be encouraged by their lives as well, and that we would be and develop character that they had through your Spirit and the power of your Son. Lord, now I pray that you'd just be with us and realize that no matter how small our place may seem, with you, all things are great and all things will be accomplished. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.